Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, today I'd like to talk about an interesting finding that has come to my attention, which may explain a great deal, actually, and it may also involve giving some relationship advice to viewers of this channel. And that is the evidence that people who are high on the autism spectrum, people who are high-functioning autistics, seem to sexually select for each other. They seem to find each other sexually attractive. And I think this is very interesting in a lot of ways. It's actually a study that was published in 2016 in a journal called JAMA Psychiatry. And it's found that patterns of non-random mating within and across 11 major psychiatric disorders by Ashley Nordletson et al. And it drew upon a larger Swedish cohort. It involved 26,000 autistics, 60,000 people with ADHD, people with schizophrenia, anxiety and various other disorders. And it found that they tend to sexually select for each other, which is quite an interesting contribution to understanding the rise in these disorders, because, of course, traditionally people were more restricted in the degree to which they could find people that were very, very like them. Until relatively recently, marriages were arranged, or were at least semi-arranged, by friends and family, and they were limited geographically to people that you could meet only within your local village in your local area. And now people can, particularly with the internet and whatever, people can meet all kinds of other people, and people can find people much more easily who are similar to them, and will do so, because, of course, we know from genetic similarity theory that, in general, people sexually select for people that are genetically similar to them because of the way in which this allows them to indirectly pass on their genes. We know that couples are more genetically similar than our two random members of the population. Indeed, we know that the most fertile couples, based on a study in Iceland, are third couples, or the genetic equivalent thereof. So our kind of niche, if you like, is to go with our third cousins, or genetic equivalent thereof. That is to say, people who are genetically similar to us at a rate of 1% above the baseline, i.e. if two English random English people are considered to be not related at all, then two third cousins are about 1% above the baseline of the population. So we can see what's going on. It's a matter of genetic similarity theory playing out. And indeed, the studies have found, by Rushton and so forth, that not only are couples more genetically similar than chance would predict, but they are particularly genetically similar on the most genetic aspects of themselves. So they are much more genetically similar on something like wrist circumference, which is highly heritable, than they are on neck circumference, which is highly environmental. They are much more similar on intelligence, which is highly heritable, and we would expect them to be much more similar on things like autistic traits, with some studies indicating that autism is as much as 95% heritable, i.e. it's overwhelmingly a consequence of genes. But anyway, what this study found was that among autistics, a male autistic is 11 times more likely to marry a female autistic than chance would predict. And a female autistic is 10 times more likely to marry a male autistic than chance would predict. And with other disorders, it's less pronounced. With schizophrenia or whatever, it's 7% or whatever, 7 times more likely than chance would predict. But this is still very, or ADHD, 8 times more likely than chance would predict. But this is still very, very substantial. And it's interesting that it's on the one that, according to the, I wasn't aware that the heritability of autism was as high as this, but according to these scholars, it's autism where the heritability is so high that is the one where autistics are massively likely to marry each other. And so this makes sense in terms of course, genetic, or be attracted to each other, in terms of genetic similarity theory, but it also just makes sense in general, I suppose. I mean, what is the nature of a relationship? David Buss argues in his book, Why Women Want Sex, or whatever it's called, that the key components of a relationship are passion, intimacy, and commitment. Well, passion, that's something that comes in at the beginning of a relationship and will generally die out and sort of pop up occasionally as the relationship progresses. Commitment, fine, but something has to build commitment. And the big thing is intimacy. This is the big driver of relationships that last, that the people are not just physically intimate, I mean, but are psychologically intimate, that they understand each other, that they feel each other's feelings, that they glow when each other glows, that they're sad when each other is sad, that they basically feel feel the same. They are psychologically intimate with each other. They click. They just sort of understand each other. They get each other in certain special moments, and in that way they are intimate. And you can see that with a person that is autistic, of course, they're going to feel they are a small minority. They are neuroatypical. They're going to feel excluded from the general society. They're going to feel these strange things, such as very, very strong feelings, such that they become overwhelmed, or a very, very, when a normal person wouldn't, or a very, very strong sense of excitement over something which they find fascinating and they really obsess over, you know, like, I don't know, some going through some historical town and looking at the old buildings and finding it amazing, which an ordinary person wouldn't, or becoming really fascinated by details and finding it amazing when they see those details and then see those details elsewhere, another person wouldn't, or by really, really enjoying and getting something out of making sense of something and of pattern spotting and of pattern spotting tiny details and becoming really excited about this, which an ordinary person wouldn't, or about having an extremely pronounced memory, a very good memory for detail and so on, and getting excited about this, which an ordinary person wouldn't, or about enjoying ordering society and just sort of making sense of things and compartmentalising everything and really taking pleasure in doing that. And none of these things would be understood by a neurotypical person, but they would be understood by another autistic, and this would create this sense of intimacy, that I see the world as you see it, that I feel what you feel, that I understand what you feel, what you understand, that I become overwhelmed when you become overwhelmed, that I become excited in the same way that you do, that I just get you. And you can see, therefore, that on that prosaic level, they would be attracted to each other, but they would also be attracted to each other. What that would be an expression of would be the genetic similarity. And that could have all kinds of interesting consequences. I mean, if autistic people, if it was really, really significant to their lives that autism was the case, and if it was an expression of genetic similarity, then this could override other considerations. It could override things like age difference, or how good-looking a person was, or socioeconomic status, or youth, or all of the other things that people will select for, could become, if the autism was intense enough, and if the feelings of genetic similarity were intense enough, it could overwhelm everything else. So I thought this was a rather interesting finding, which I will share with you, and I will see you all soon. And goodbye.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!